The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a podcast series that explores the world of Taconic High School from student, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. And welcome to Up on Taconic. I'm your host, Dalton, and today we're going to be talking about some of the media released in 2024. So I'm happy to introduce students Aiden and Avery.
Hello.
Yo, what's good?
All right. So for our first type of media released in 2024, we have music.
I like water parks. They released two new songs. One of them we've been in demo, like, the demo basement for a while, and now we finally have it. It's finally out. Call Me, Beat Me, listen to it. It's really good.
The trenches of demo music.
Yes. The, yo, we're gonna tease this song for 6,000 years and never release it. That's my favorite thing.
And they did it, and everybody just went, what? Woo! Yeah. I mean, I'm happy because Kendrick finally dropped the album.
Kendrick, GMX. Drop it.
Kendrick, drop the album and my life is yours, bro. And then he did it.
And then TV off edits went crazy.
Yes. But he finally did it. And he actually used the snippet.
He used the snippet.
He didn't waste the snippet.
But, you've already named one of the albums that we have listed down.
Yeah.
But one of the others is Chromacopia by Tyler.
Very good album.
As you can tell,
it's really good.
Very good album.
It's really good. Might be his best album.
I still think Igor is the best.
That's what you sound like.
I will hate you.
I'm sorry.
No abuse in the podcast studio. All right. Not on my watch.
Yeah. No.
Another one is We Don't Trust You by Future and Metro Boomin.
I've heard one song off that album.
I have not heard any songs off that album.
So I can't really speak on the album, so.
All right.
Yeah.
And before we get to find one, any other songs that you guys would like to contribute?
Sabrina Carpenter.
Okay, Shadow the Hedgehog.
I mean, all of the songs on the radio were good, and Chapel Roan. Those are my two favorite, like, pop artists that I thought actually produced really good music. That whenever they come on the radio, I was like, yeah.
I've now suddenly forgotten anything else that has been released in 2024.
Real.
I mean, Mind Sick of It White. Escaped.
I mean, Set It Off released a remake of Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, but like, I don't like that song as much as other songs on the album.
You like the twins from The Shining? What was that?
Hold on. So I'm a big Set It Off guy. I saw them for VIP like a year ago. They were really good. And Wolf in Sheep's Clothing is just not their best. That's all I'm gonna say. It's not their best.
Might be a hot take. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's
that's pretty good.
You didn't grow up with 2015 Undertale animations, I assume.
All right, and the final album we have on our list is Epic the Musical, The Ithaca Saga by Jorge Rivera Ellis. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Probably would have done better than either of us. So
yeah. I had to study that.
Yeah,
but for those who don't know, Epic the Musical is a musical adaptation of Homer's The Odyssey.
Yes.
And it, in my personal opinion, it is really good. So if you like Greek mythology, I suggest you check it out.
Also play Hades. I'm going to plug Hades when we talk about Greek mythos.
Might as well. That was fast.
Play that
We're
game.
Getting
it's
to
so
games.
Good.
We're getting to games.
We'll get to games. Avery. Calm down.
The ninth
and final saga.
Yeah, ninth and final saga. The concept albums are done, so hopefully we get an actual
full musical
or a movie
or possibly another just concept musical.
Epic 2. Epic the Musical, the sequel.
Iliad the Musical.
Oh my god.
That would go hard.
Epic the Musical 2, Electric Boogaloo.
That would go kind of crazy, I agree. The Iliad, yeah, that would go crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
favorite song?
Oh.
Hang on. I think we should go more generalized first, like favorite saga.
Favorite saga, Underworld. I got it.
Fair enough. Shortest Underworld, saga, but the best one.
Either Underworld or Vengeance.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Lovely.
I've had like five songs stuck in my head. It's been Get in the Water, Thunderbringer, Different Beast, Odysseus from the Ithaca Saga, and Monster.
Only five
rookie numbers.
Well, no, right now, they're the only... Well, no, right now, they're the ones that are just constantly playing in my head, and they won't leave, and I'm going to start charging them rent soon.
My point still stands. Rookie give me the money. Numbers.
I'm going to start charging them.
Like 30. That's almost the whole album. My head. Okay, Moon Knight.
I mean, then again, that's also Odysseus in that. Well, not in his head, but just like, there is a god standing in front of me.
There's a god living in my head.
There is a god standing in front of me.
Told me to kill a baby.
There is a god standing in front of me.
That is a reference.
And he's kind of angry.
That's what happens in the Iliad.
Yeah.
Zeus is like, yo, Odysseus, kill this baby. If you don't, he's going to kill you. And Odysseus is like, okay.
Sure.
Greek mythology is wild.
It is.
You didn't know that until now?
That's what makes it interesting. Like, it's so crazy, but I love it.
Yeah. Like, we're getting way off topic here.
I'm just glad they didn't do Zeus like he actually is in the mythos. I'm glad they toned him down a little.
He's like the worst person ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's not get into that. That's a whole other game.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing we shouldn't get into.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back after this break. And we're back with Aiden and Avery. So for our second form of media release this year, we have games. Now,
let's let you guys get your stuff out before I talk about Sega and Atlas's generational run this year. Okay.
Before we get to the list, are there any games that you guys would like to contribute?
I'll go last. I have a lot to say.
I can't think of anything immediately. I'll probably think of something in a few minutes or something. I can't actively think of anything right now, though.
All right. So the first one on the list I know that you guys can talk about for a while is Marvel Rivals. So
really fun
because we don't shut up about the moon.
The moon. The moon. I made Moon Knight, and then these two wackos just started following in my footsteps.
Or they're just like little ducklings.
I can't play the game.
Well, no, we either don't shut up about the moon, or we don't shut up about Armed and Dangerous.
Pure chaos.
Yes. That's honestly, that's just Sigma at that point. Just the universe.
The universe.
Yeah. I mean, it's doing better than Overwatch, so.
I mean, like, you look at the stream again, numbers, it's like 500K for Marvel Rivals, and Overwatch is like 5K.
Yeah. I mean, then again, at this point, Overwatch is not a very high bar to pass.
I mean,
but that, I think that has something to do with the people at Activision and Blizzard and.
Yeah.
That's also corporate something we greed. Probably shouldn't get into.
We want money.
Money.
Yeah. I mean, they want to. Like, oh, yeah, you want to play a game that got Game of the Year like 10 years ago? Boom. Cosmetics. Buy them all. Or else we'll kill your family.
It's the Battle Pass.
It's the Battle Pass. Oh my god, I could go on an Alex Jones level rant of why I hate Battle Passes at this point, because they're in every single game to ever exist now.
In most of the stuff in there.
Yes,
don't even
it's
want.
Like mediocre at
it's
best.
Like I pay $10 for one thing that I'm gonna have to grind for for a week or multiple weeks. And
I mean, it makes sense
fun.
For them to put like the stuff you would actually want near the end, because it makes you play their game, which obviously they want.
It's kind of scummy though.
It makes sense.
Marvel Rivals is a lot better about it though, because every battle pass will always be available, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for them to put like the stuff people want the most near the end, so they get more playtime, which makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense, and that's just.
Okay.
Pun intended, that's for the love of the game.
What else, Don? What else you got?
The second game on the list is Astrobot.
Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Very deserved. I'm a huge PlayStation guy. I was never really a Nintendo kid outside of, like, the Game Boy and Wii. Mm. So to have a game that really celebrates, like, the real console that I grew up with personally is really cool to me. And see characters
not
like...
Not me, though.
Good for you.
I grew up with a bread box.
Okay, good for you. You grew up with your Master Chief and your...
Yeah.
I don't know anyone else. Your Gears of War. It was cool to see characters like Sly Cooper, Alucard from Castlevania, Soul Bad Guy from Guilty Gear. Love Guilty Gear.
Oh, God.
Raiden from Metal Gear. It was so cool. A lot of Gears. To see them in a game again, it was really nice. And weirdly, not enough Sora from Kingdom Hearts, which is a weird one that they don't have, but, you know, whatever.
Mm.
But you said so many words, and I... Understood
I,
like
I,
three.
Just, yeah, I understood about four of those words.
I don't speak PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm too fluent
guy.
In Xbox.
too big of a PlayStation guy.
Yeah.
Next one. What do you got?
I mean, I
don't
have
any. Let's rapid fire these.
We have time. Our next game is the indie game winner of the year, I believe. Bellatro.
Yep.
Watch Mark Player play it. It was so entertaining.
Keeping up with the game of the year.
Theme.
Ideas. Yeah, the theme. Definitely into the next one, which might be a very controversial one. But I mean, Bellatro, a very fun idea. Very fun idea.
I like roguelikes, so.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
And I also like the poker theme to it. I think it's an interesting way to turn
an arguably
simple game. Well, yeah, that's how gambling works.
To watch.
That is how gambling works.
Not even to play, to watch. It's like super fun to watch like Markiplier figure out how he can get his score to the highest and get all the multipliers. Mm. It's like super, super interesting.
Yeah, I do like the poker theme though, because it's a nice way to turn a arguably simpler game into something a lot more unique and diverse. And I don't think I've seen it, but I would assume, considering the nature of it, there's probably a lot of different ways to play it.
Yeah, what Mark was doing is he was getting like a Joker card that gave him a multiplier on non-face cards.
Oh,
so
yeah.
As long as he didn't use face cards, his multiplier would just skyrocket through the roof because it kept it infinitely stacks. It was super cool.
Yeah. I'd assume it's one of those like games where you need to have a certain build of, or at least a certain approach.
You need to have like a game plan.
Yeah.
A strategy. You can't just go in willy-nilly.
Yeah. Without strategy.
I'm gonna get all these jokers that don't really help any
of
them out.
Again, without strategy, a lot of games don't really work properly.
I mean, yeah.
Like, including our next one.
Yeah.
Our next one is...
Segways.
Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree.
Oh, God.
A very controversial...
Pick for game of the year nominees.
I mean, I would say even just mentioning it is kind of controversial just because of the fact that it was nominated for game of the year.
Soulsborne
games
are now way more
controversial. You guys made. I'm just the host.
Yeah.
I mean, was Black Myth Wukong even nominated?
It was. It's less Souls-like-y than most.
Well, yeah. Though.
It's like
but
way
it's
more
a nice,
action.
I feel like they should have just gone with Black Myth Wukong and kept Shadow of the Erdtree out, or had a side thing for
they should have
DLC or expansion of the year.
I don't know what would have taken its spot.
I mean, Space Marines 2, if that wasn't...
Helldivers 2.
Or Helldivers 2, yeah.
Helldivers 2, in my
opinion. Why are there so many 2s this year? I just realized.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, Elden Ring's fun, but I do definitely agree Shadow of the Erdtree definitely should not have gotten nominated for Game of the Year, and...
But it's posting 50 hours of content.
Well, yeah, but that, I don't think that's enough to constitute Game of the Year. Still, it should. I think if they had a side area for like DLC or expansion of the year, it would have gone to Shadow of the Erdtree. But just the fact that they didn't also kind of killed it.
Yeah.
Because one, it shouldn't have even been there for Game of the Year because it's not Game of the Year. Two, Elden Ring is already a former Game of the Year, so it doesn't really need it.
It's already won Game of the Year.
Yeah. Right? And three, it's a DLC, so...
Bro really said, I want another one.
Yeah.
All right. Avery, would you like to go on your rant?
Okay,
now?
So... All right. Atlas and Sega had an absolutely generational run this year. Okay, first of all, Persona 3 Reload, probably their biggest release in terms of, like, notoriety. Great remake. There are some choices I necessarily don't agree with. As somebody who really loves the original Persona 3, but still very, very solid game overall. And then we have the Like a Dragon games or the Yakuza games releasing Infinite Wealth last year, which was really good. And I really just love the Like a Dragon series. It's really fun. And then we get on to the big release of Atlas for the year, Metaphor ReFantazio. Insanely good JRPG. It was my personal pick for Game of the Year. Sucks it didn't win, but it's a JRPG, so it's never going to win. And it was just really, it was Atlas's biggest release. It was for their 30th anniversary. It was insane. So good. So good.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah. And the a little sneaker in there. SMT5 Vengeance was able to save SMT5's whole reputation. A lot of people were like, the story's drab, the story doesn't work. And then Vengeance was like, nope, we get a new story, and it's so much better. And then everyone was like, oh my god, this game's peak again. And then, yeah, that was great. But my favorite, my favorite, Sonic X Shadow Generations,
here
baby.
It goes.
Let's go.
Strap down, everybody.
Sonic's in a renaissance era. I'm telling you. He's coming back, and it's not even because of Sonic. It's because of Shadow. My goat. My favorite character in the series.
Probably my favorite character of all time.
Yeah, probably my favorite character of all time.
It's really not a very
bringing
far
back this
to say
series
that.
And like all the games that Sega's released this year were there. Oh, they're so good. They're so good. But yeah, this year was great for my favorite game company.
Fair enough. Are you done with your low rant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would hope.
But we're going to get another one in the next section.
Yeah,
I know.
Segway.
We'll be right back after this break. And we're back with Aiden and Avery. So for our third and final type of media that was released in 2024. Yeah, source. We have movies. So because you made the segue.
Oh boy, movies.
We're
going to
start
off
with Sonic 3. So.
Oh boy.
I didn't see it, so I don't know why you pointed at me.
I love Sonic 3. It might be my new favorite movie, at least in terms of enjoyment. The Crow is still probably my favorite movie when I think about it, like objectively, like what is
Keanu.
The best movie I've seen. I love Keanu. Don't even get me started.
We'll be here for the next hour.
If we go into general Keanu talk, we will be here for the next hour.
Buses will have came and it'll still be like, John Wick 4!
John Wick 4! I actually haven't seen John Wick 4. I only saw the first three. I need
John
to see
John Wick
4
3!
John Wick 3! It was so good. John Wick 3 was
Shadow!
So good. Shadow the Hedgehog! Yeah, okay. Sonic 3. It was so insanely good. I've never been more giddy in a movie theater in my entire life. I was like, I'm not going to spoil anything because I guarantee there's somebody out there who's still hasn't seen it yet. But that third act really got me giggling, and I was very happy. I was trying not to like explode out of my seat in the theater. I was like, oh my God, they did the thing. And it was so good. It was so insanely good. Ben Schwartz as Sonic is a casting choice that's really starting to like, I'm starting to like understand and really see how good he is in his range, because in the first two movies he's kind of just like, oh, I'm silly classic Sonic and can talk, and then in
I'm silly
Sonic
blue
movie,
gumball
in Sonic movie 3, and especially in the third act, he's like, I can't do this anymore, bro. I can't do this anymore, and he starts
Sonic
like,
crash out.
Yeah, Sonic crash out. He crashes out in the third act. And Ben Schwartz is great with it. He puts a lot of care into really portraying like a more modernized Sonic closer to the adventure era, and I think he does a phenomenal job with that. Tails' voice actress, she has been the longest standing Tails voice actress, because she is the game voice actress for the movies. Colleen, she's great in this movie, as always. Idris Elba, he's a really good Knuckles. I love a lot of, like, if you see interviews with him, he's wearing like the Knuckles gloves in the studio while recording. He brings a lot of passion to the character, and I really love to see like a movie voice actor like not just celebrity casting, but like actually get into this role and love doing it. And on that topic, Keanu Reeves. I loved Keanu as Shadow. He was so good. Keanu is my personal favorite, at the very least stage actor. Voice actor would probably still have to go to Alex Lee. But he is so insanely good as Shadow. He's really good at playing like tragic characters and giving like a nice twinge to them. And he portrays it phenomenally, and he does Shadow's backstory a lot of justice, and he really portrays like the sadness and rage you can hear in Shadow. And especially in a lot of interviews, he like did research on Shadow because he wasn't super familiar with his character, but he actively like went out and was like, I'm going to figure out like what I can look at and like try to portray this character to the best extent. And he does a really good job at giving like that, obviously like the edginess Shadow's known for, but a lot of like the heartfelt scenes, he does a really good job at like portraying Shadow's emotions. And like the CGI too, it's really good at giving Shadow his like, tough, rough moments, but is really good at giving him those heartfelt moments as well. And it just the
Keanu is
like,
just the guy to play.
He's
like
the goat.
He's the guy to play like your average edgelord character that then you Google, look at their backstory, and become traumatized because of.
Yeah, that's Shadow. That's
Maria. Keanu in general. That's any character Keanu plays, because he'll play the most like niche characters and then immediately bring them directly into the spotlight. Somebody Googles them and they're just like.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Keanu movies over break too. It was like, so good. Constantine, that's my number one recommendation. That's what I'll leave you with. Anyway, that's my app.
Yeah,
loved it.
That.
Also, Jim Carrey, he was really good as both Gerald and Ivo.
Well, Jim Carrey is
Jim Carrey.
He is. I'm gonna say it. Best actor of all time.
That's not a crazy thing to say.
Not, I don't think it's that crazy.
The Keanu guy and the Jim Carrey guy. In one.
Yes. It might be a little bit of a reach, but I don't think it's really that crazy to say Sonic 3. Jim Carrey, one of, if not the best actor of all time. Easily top five.
Yeah.
Easily.
Especially with like the amount of respect he gives to the art form, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this was like the longevity
that pulled him out of retirement.
Yeah. Yes, it was. He was like, I won't come back to acting unless the script is written in gold. And apparently the script is written in gold is whatever Sonic 3 was.
Yeah, so he was like sent the Sonic 3 script written in pen ink that was laced with gold.
Yeah.
I don't want to say so waste it was of literally, gold, but it was a good movie.
It was not a waste of gold. You're just not in tune enough.
I'm just not that into Sonic, so I only saw the first movie.
It's a good movie.
That's the thing the movie does that's great is if you're a Sonic fan, you'll enjoy it a lot more, which I think is the good thing. I think that's not a bad thing.
I mean, I didn't necessarily not like the first one. It was just like I never really wanted to see the second or third.
That's crazy. The second one's so good.
I think it could have been because of the first one, because obviously this guy knows way too much about Sonic. So him saying the first one is mid might be the reason why I never saw the second or third, because it just didn't really intrigue me enough. Like, it was a good movie. It wasn't a bad watch.
The first one is like Alvin and the Chipmunks, but Sonic the Hedgehog flavored, and that's why it's not that good.
Oh, God. No, remember the first absolutely atrocious design.
And then they got Tyson Hess, and he was like, hold on, the master is here. We got you. And then, I mean, you don't know the history of Tyson Hess, but essentially he's done a lot of work with Sonic animation.
Chuck E. Cheese animatronic looking Sonic design.
Yeah.
All right. While we're on the topic of rounding out trilogy movies, we have Deadpool and Wolverine for our second movie.
Yes!
Yeah!
Okay, I'll let you go on.
Okay. God tier movie. I'm going to say it. One of the best movies of all time. Easily, I would say the best movie this year. I know you're going to fight me on that because Sonic 3.
I think it's both of them are in the running.
Yeah. But, I mean, great jokes, good send off to the Fox series, and a nice way to probably, maybe, we're not really sure, but most likely set off the Deadpool series just because, I mean, Ryan Reynolds himself has said
he was
probably
like,
no
they were
Deadpool
4. Deadpool 4, and he was like, oh, God, no. He was like, my wife, nope.
I mean, there's still a chance. There's a chance that maybe he goes broke. But I think that this will probably be the last.
So till they're 90.
You really think Hollywood's going to let you go, Ryan? You really think that?
You think Marvel's going to let you go,
Ryan? Most profitable R-rated movie of all time, and you think they're going to let you go?
Sure, Ryan. You think Marvel's going to let you go after you make the highest rated or the highest...
Grossing.
Like the best received R-rated movie of all time? No, you are not being let go.
Marvel's going to be like, oh, crap, he can make a good movie when we can't.
Yeah, they will take you back from the grave to make Deadpool 17.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, Deadpool Wolverine, great movie, though.
Yeah.
Like... Really if I got to put it generally, amazing movie, great jokes. Again, wonderful send off to like the Fox.
You and Ryan are be about series. To jump in the casket. And Marvel's going to be like, no, hop in the studio instead.
Yeah.
All right. Again, on the topic of trilogy movies, we have Venom the Last.
More Marvel trilogies.
A lot of trilogies this year. Yeah.
Here we go. Time to get crucified.
I didn't say it. If I wasn't going to get crucified before
by saying it on the Thunder Report, I'm doubling down here. Sue me, crucify me, break into my home. Please don't, though. But whatever you want to do, I don't care. I liked Venom 3. It was good. I liked the way the story turned and the way that we...
Like, I mean, it's Tom Hardy.
Yeah, but also the introduction of Null, finally seeing this, I would argue, very anticipated character. Like, I would say since Venom 1, a lot of people have been wondering.
So they did King in Black?
What do you mean?
That's the comic storyline Null first appeared in. Where he gets the wings, I think.
I don't know, because I only saw like half of it.
Oh, okay.
So. I'm going to probably watch the rest of it when I get home, but... from what I saw, like this will immediately be out of date the second we get home because I'm gonna finish the movie. But from what I've seen, oh my God, amazing movie. I like the jokes. I mean, I think it's a bit of a darker joke.
It's like a black humor, so like Reanimator, almost. If you ever seen Reanimator, almost. Sort of that kind of humor.
Like, it's like Deadpool and Wolverine, but I think a little more
even edgier,
witty humor and more so just straight dark humor.
Rather than just Deadpool being a meme.
Yeah. Rather than just Deadpool being Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's like Tom Hardy.
And Hugh Jackman playing straight man.
It's just like Tom Hardy's impression of Deadpool, if that makes sense.
Dang.
Just him, but like just having darker jokes. But still, I think it was a great send off to Venom trilogy. I mean, I always love it. I've loved all the Venom movies, even though the fact that they probably weren't very highly rated.
I mean, the first one's okay, and yeah. The second one's really good, is my opinion.
But, I mean, I loved them all. I mean, I've always loved Venom as a character. He's just such a cool idea.
He's a silly guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's
the way
sillier
guy.
Than people give him credit.
He is he's a goofy little guy. Well, he's not very little. He's like 8 feet tall. But in this scenario,
little guy, taller than all of us.
Yes, little guy, like head hitting the ceiling.
Little guy
in here.
When he's Hulk size.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, I love the character itself. I love the way Tom Hardy portrays Eddie Brock, and. Yeah. The movie all around was very good, and I'm very happy with, in my eyes, they did Venom justice in the trilogy, and I think it was a very good story, but it still left people wanting more, which I think honestly might get turned into like some awful
people
side
just want
series.
A Spider-Man crossover. People
honestly,
just want Spider-Man crossover.
They'll probably do that, and if they make another like Spider-Man movie,
it's
or
like
whatever.
Deadpool.
Speaking
Wolverine.
Of Spider-Man, I think did No Way Home come out this year or last year or 2024, 2023?
No Way Home came out in 2021.
No Way Home. Oh, God. I am way behind. Oh, God.
Bro lives under the biggest rock.
No, I live in a time stasis
chamber. They call
chamber.
Him Patrick Starr.
No, I live in a time stasis chamber. I completely forgot. The concept of time, I forget way too often. I can't remember when stuff
Bro
came
forgot
out.
The concept of
it's
time.
It's 2025.
Yeah.
I hope this helps.
I didn't know you when No Way Home came out, bro.
I don't like that. Don't say that. I don't like that. Ugh. But.
What up next? What up next?
Yeah.
For movies.
All right. For our final movie, we have Transformers 1.
Transformers 1. Peak.
All right.
Peak.
Time to let him go off again because I haven't seen the movie.
So I'm actually.
Unless
so
you want to go off.
Just being personal. Transformers is a series that I've, like, it's very. Personal to me, at least with my dad, because it was something we really liked and connected with. So I got to see it with my dad as his birthday present that I gave to him. So we saw the movie, and it was really good. Best animated movie I've probably ever seen since, like, Into the Spider-Verse. Like, it was that good. Like, it was better than Across Spider-Verse, but it wasn't better than Into, but it was definitely, like, in between. It, like, bridged the gap. And it's definitely the best Transformers movie I think I've ever seen. It was really good. It's the first animated movie I've had, I'm pretty sure, since the 1986 original. And it was phenomenal. I love the characterization of Megatron. He was my personal favorite character. And, excuse me, I'm sorry, I forget the actor's name. But the guy who acted for Megatron, he was phenomenal performance. Maybe the best voice acting performance of the year in terms of movies. Even
Fair
though
enough.
I went off on Keanu being like the perfect shadow for the movies. I don't think he did as good. Can just hear the descent that Megatron goes into and, well, becoming Megatron from D16, I believe it was. It's so good. It's so good. 10/10 movie.
This was, well, I mean, all the ones that we've named today have been ones I've seen with my friends, but this is one that I've seen from what I paid attention to. It was pretty good. But thanks to Aiden and Avery for joining us, and we'd like to thank our listeners on WTBR 89.7 FM and for streaming on our podcast sites like Spotify and CastBox. Feel free to contact us at TaconicTV@Pittsfield.net for any questions or comments. We hope you'll join us again soon, and we'll see you next time on Up on Taconic. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced in the Taconic Podcast Studio in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And this week featured Aiden Avery. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting hardware and Pro Tools software and taped in January of 2025.